So you're sound asleep and dreaming. Some of you might actually be sound asleep and dreaming, but the door bursts open. A bright light shines in your face, and a voice shouts, "Wake up! Get up! You're going to be late." They splash cold water on your face just to make the point. Time to stop dreaming. Time to face the most important day of your life. Actually, it felt a bit like that this morning for me when my alarm clock went off. Debbie and I were in London last night celebrating our 30th wedding anniversary. And in case you're interested, we went to see Made in Dagenham, which I can recommend. Fantastic show. Didn't get back till about 12:30 last night. So this morning, my wake-up call was a little bit like that when the alarm went off. There's a bit of a change in temperature between last week and this week. Last week, we were looking at the first chapter of John's Gospel, and we go back to the very start. We take our time. We look at the creation, the way that Jesus was involved right from the very start as God's world being breathed over creation. And then we take quite a long view of history and of Jesus coming, reintroducing us, I guess, to our faith again, afresh. And I suggested we all read it to set up this year. But today, this is very different. This is Mark's Gospel. It's the first chapter of Mark's Gospel. And this is a wake-up call. This is a very different pace. Here we find John the Baptist bursting in upon the Jewish world. He was a voice shouting across their dreams. For a long time, the Jews had had these amazing stories of freedom. They'd gone through incredible adventures with God. But they knew that there would be a final freedom that would come. And they didn't really quite know what it would look like. But John the Baptist was encouraging everybody to get ready for it, to prepare for it. Some people thought John was mad. He didn't look like most people. He didn't dress like most people. He didn't sound like most people. He didn't live like most people. But here he was, telling them to get ready for the greatest moment in the history of the world. It was a story they knew well in some ways. It was the Passover story being told again, but with a new twist this time. Instead of simply hearing the words about their ancestors, God's people now would have been in the drama. John was saying, you have a chance to be in God's drama. He was telling everybody who wanted to hear that they were now the cast of the show. Last night, I was quite envious of the people who were on stage in the Adelphi Theatre. It was a wonderful, uplifting experience. Humorous, music was amazing. And I would have loved to have been somebody who could have sung like that at some point in my life. But with God, with Jesus, John the Baptist is telling us that we have an opportunity to get on stage, to be part of the drama, to make things happen. He was saying once again, you can come through the water, you can leave Egypt behind and all the slavery and all the ghastliness of your past. Your old life can be left behind. All the rebellion, all the sin. And you can turn round, you can repent. You can turn your back on your old life and intend with God's help to change. That's what repentance means. It means turning round. Time to stop dreaming, John the Baptist is saying. Wake up to God's reality this morning. The challenge had a very sharp edge. Someone was coming very soon, and John was getting the people ready. It's interesting, isn't it? When somebody important comes, we smarten everything up. If we knew the Queen was going to come here tomorrow morning, the church would look quite different, I think, from how it looks now. There's a few things we would have put away, a few things we might have burnt, a few things we would have got rid of. They say that wherever the Queen goes, the smell around her is always fresh paint. She must spend her whole life in rooms that have been freshly painted. Probably isn't doing her any good, really. We need to prepare for Jesus as we enter 2015. So who did John think this someone was? Well, John was a little bit vague, but there were some things that he said. He said that what John had done with water, baptizing people in the River Jordan, dying to the old life and rising up out of the water to be new and fresh and clean, to have a new life. The coming one, Jesus, would do the same, but also with the Holy Spirit. So yes, this is a wake-up call. It is a warning, but it's also a promise. Even more so, this is God's promise to us. A promise that Israel had been cherishing for centuries, when God would come, break into the world, live with his people. He would be their God. He would be with them, and they would be with him. God's Spirit would live with the people, in the people. He would become the air that they breathe, the fire in their hearts. This is the promise that they'd lived on. And now John says, now it is coming true. But were the people ready? Were God's people ready for this? Well, they weren't ready for exactly what they got, that's for sure. Mark's gospel, in the opening verses, tell us what to expect. The beginning of the good news of Jesus the Messiah, God's Son, changing everything. But things weren't very clear. They'd heard the voice, which was John the Baptist. They'd seen the baptism in water, and many of them had taken part in this in order to get clean, to be with God. And now they were to get ready to meet Jesus, somebody who would now finally make sense of it all. Not an easy sense, necessarily, quite disturbing in some cases. This was a wake-up call. If you're sick and you're not able to sleep very much, or if you're worried about something, stressed about something, and you're not sleeping very well, the night sometimes seems to go on forever, doesn't it? But then it's always just as you're dozing off, at sort of just in those last half hours of the morning, that the alarm clock suddenly goes off and you find it really is morning. The time is now. That's the mood in this gospel. It raises questions for us, like, are we asleep today, you and me? Are we asleep? In our church life, are we asleep? In our communities, are we asleep? In our own personal lives and our families, are we asleep? What will it take to wake us up? Because it's important that we do wake up. God's promise through Jesus is life-changing. It is a matter of life and death. It's the greatest promise that we could ever have. Look at what God says to the newly baptized Jesus. The voice is heard. You are my son whom I love, with whom I am well pleased. It's a sad fact, isn't it, that very often a father's love, well given and well received, is a rare thing in society today. Too often we hear stories, don't we, of ungenerous fathers, unable to give the time to a daughter or a son to affirm them, to express their love for them, and to say that they are pleased with them and proud of them. Happens all the time, it seems, in families and in other situations, in businesses and so on. Many children grow up in our world never having heard a father say to them, either in words or in hugs or just an affirming look, you are my child, I am well pleased with you. In the UK, our fathers are often too tongue-tied, aren't we, or too embarrassed to tell our children how delighted we are with them. I found it difficult, for sure. But God does this for us. The whole Christian gospel, in a way, could be summed up by saying that when God looks at us, he invites us to look to him, to turn our back on what's gone before, and to offer ourselves to him in baptism. And he will say, you are my child, with whom I am well pleased. He sees us in a different way. We often see ourselves as unworthy. We see our lives as not great. There's some shame there. But Jesus sees us differently. It seems impossible to think that he could love us in that way. But it's true. God looks at us and says, you are my dear child. I'm delighted with you. I'm just wondering, in the last service, I just got people to say that in their minds with their own name at the front. But I wonder if we could say it to each other. If you don't know the person next to you, perhaps you could just ask their name and then just say, God loves you. You are God's child and he is delighted with you. So could you just do that to the person next to you? Is there anybody on the end of a pew missing out at all? Simon, has anybody said it to you? You're all right, good, okay. God is saying that to us. You are my child, and I am pleased with you. This door is open to each one of us. You've heard it from somebody this morning. Remind yourself of it every day. How does it come about? Well, it takes the whole story of Mark for us to fully understand it. And what I'd like to encourage you to do, as I did last week, is to read that first chapter in Mark. If you read the first chapter in John, you get the long view. If you read the first chapter in Mark, you get this urgent view. Read the one that appeals to you most this month, all the way through, and you'll get the whole story. Of course, it takes us to the end, to Jesus' death and resurrection, before we can fully understand it. But this is what the good news is all about. God's grace, God's love for us. And the good news is better than that, because we have an accelerator to this, and that is God's Holy Spirit. Jesus' beloved Father was watching over him, was there with him, was loving him, acting through him, and pouring out his Holy Spirit on Jesus. The Holy Spirit can make a huge difference in our lives if we invite him in. It's one thing to invite Jesus in. That's kind of the baptism with water. But the next thing, it's a good idea to invite his Holy Spirit into our lives, because that's the baptism of the Spirit, which is talked about in that passage. Derek also read us the passage in Acts where a number of people who hadn't heard of the Holy Spirit were reminded, and they invited the Spirit into their lives. And they had two gifts that they were given at that point. One was speaking in strange languages, and one was the ability to prophesy. Well, you might say, well, that doesn't sound very much. Doesn't sound like that could change the world. But actually, if you think about it, those tongues enabled them to communicate with God, to pray more deeply than they've ever prayed before. And again, that is available to us. God's Spirit will help us pray, will help us communicate with God in a new way, in a deeper way, in a way that changes us, in a way that expands us, in a way that improves our character, in a way that enables us to love more, in a way that enables us to communicate better. That quality of prayer is open to us if we invite the Spirit in. And the prophecy, well, what's that about? Is that just seeing into the future? Well, it's more about really looking at things through God's eyes, seeing things in God's perspective, looking at your family through God's eyes, looking at your friends through God's eyes, the stranger through God's eyes, your business through God's eyes. You get a new perspective. You make better decisions. Your life is changed. I'd encourage you to invite the Holy Spirit into your life right at the beginning of this year. Realize that John's words of encouragement, of alarm, urgency, he wants the best for us. He encourages us to turn around and accept Jesus, accept his baptism, and then to accept the Holy Spirit, to accelerate that process. What amazing resources are open to us as we go into 2015? God's love and God's Spirit. So I'd encourage you this month to pick one of those two Gospels and to read it right the way through, either Mark's or John, and take it right the way through. Read the whole story. Get in tune. Invite the Spirit to lift the words off the pages into your heart and into your mind. We can choose to leave these gifts unwrapped underneath the tree, if you like. We've just taken the Christmas tree that was out there and shoved it around the corner waiting for the recycling, done the same in our house. They were both dead, horrible prickly things with the spines falling off. There weren't any presents left under either of them. But I wonder if there are presents left under the metaphorical tree that Jesus has left for us and we're not accepting and opening, unwrapping them with vigor and thankfulness. Are we grasping God's gifts with everything we have? What will you do from this morning, from this afternoon, from this evening? So I'd like us to do three things. Read one of those Gospels during January and the rest of January and get in tune with what God wants. We have an opportunity to come together at the end of the month, 31st and 1st of January. We're going to get together and have a day when we pray together as a church. So I'd invite you to take part in that. Put that in your diary now. There'll be more information about that in the coming weeks. But then this morning, if you'd like to, I'll invite you to open your hands, close your eyes, and pray with me to invite God to give you his love and his spirit. Let's pray if you want to. Father, we thank you for these gifts that John the Baptist wakes us up to. We thank you for the gift of your grace and your love. For the opportunity to allow you to forgive us, to hear those words that you love us and that we are your children and that you are delighted with us. Help us to have those words ringing through our ears every day as we come back to you. And Father, we invite you to accelerate that process through your Holy Spirit. Help us to see our lives through your eyes. Help us to invite your Spirit into our lives every day to give us the power to love, to give us the power to live. Please take us, Father, and use us for your glory. Amen. Amen.